Welcome, everyone. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you're dialing in from. This is episode 116 of the Cardano Effect podcast. Rick and myself are the host. We have a lot to talk about today. Rick, how are you doing this Saturday morning? What's going on? What's happening?
Hey, I'm doing great. It's warm and sunny here in Virginia, and I would like to give a shout out to the Cardano Foundation for sponsoring this podcast. And this will be our final podcast at the Cardano Effect. We had our first 72 episodes. We're sponsored by IOG, so thank you very much, IOG, for that. And from episode 73 to 116, sponsored by the Cardano Foundation. So thank you for that as well. All right, so we do have some end-of-year news recap to go over, Philippe. There was a few things you were going to hit on. And then for this final episode, I'm going to hit on a few nostalgia things like our stats and how the podcast was created from the beginning for the viewers who are new to the podcast. Oh, and a reminder to viewers new to the podcast, the Cardano Effect is available on all audio streaming platforms, and we've already paid for all of the storage space, so it will be permanently available for a historical record of the birth and the growth of Cardano. So that historical record will be out there forever, okay? All right, Philippe, what you got, buddy?
Yes. Okay, so the first thing that we need to talk about, there's a lot of news that's been going on within Cardano. I think that we should start off with Project Catalyst because there was an announcement yesterday, I believe, and voter registration is open. Voter registration will be ending on Monday at 1700 UTC. So if you're not familiar with UTC time, you can just go type in 1700 UTC on Google and find out exactly what time that correlates with your geographical area. If you want to vote, make sure that you register before that time. You're going to need a balance of 8,000 ADA in order to vote. And you're going to have to download another version of Daedalus. It's called the Daedalus Catalyst version. And you will have to restore your wallet. So that means getting out your seed phrases and making sure that you can migrate your wallet over from the regular Daedalus mainnet to Daedalus Catalyst. So this is another attack point, another vector where things can go wrong. So be very careful. You have until December 15th. You have until Tuesday. So you just need to take your time and make sure that you understand what you are doing. Personally, me, I mean, there are a lot of versions of Daedalus right now. So I don't want anyone to get confused. I mean, there's probably five on my computer right now. You have Daedalus Flight, you have Daedalus Mainnet, you have the Daedalus ITN version, now you have Daedalus Catalyst. So it's very, very confusing. I understand. I don't know what my particular strategy is going to be because I don't like re-entering my seed phrases. I'm not going to lie to you. So I don't know if that's going to, I'll be incentivized to maybe split up my wallets within the mainnet, create smaller wallets, and then try to restore some of them in Daedalus Catalyst, or I'll restore everything. I'm not 100% sure. Rick, I wanted to ask you, what's your plan? What's your strategy? How are you going to mitigate the risk of attack? But are you going to, but at the same time, try to get involved with the voting process?
Well, I'm going to restore I have a Yoroi wallet. I'm going to restore that one into the Daedalus Catalyst, the 24-word seed. And also make note, like Philippe was saying, there are several different versions of Daedalus. The Daedalus Catalyst version will say Catalyst across the bottom of the icon. So make sure when you're downloading it and using it, you're doing it in that method and using the right icon to restore it. I'm going to divide some bags up. Also for stake pool operators, since almost all of my ADA and my team's ADA is locked up in Pledge, we are going to be using and experimenting with the command line version. It's going to be very difficult because we use an extremely extensive offline cold storage security strategy. So we're going to have to work on it this weekend and figure out exactly how we want to do this without compromising or at least exposing some of that Pledge that we have ice cold, completely offline, never touch the internet type thing, right?
Yeah.
So we're gonna have to figure it out. It's gonna take some time. But a reminder to stake pool operators, if you are going to vote from Pledge, follow the link to the IOHK Zendesk, and it has the command line interface for voting using your stake pool Pledge. Okay, so there are two different methods there. You have the Daedalus version Catalyst, and you also have the command line interface for stake pool operators. so that you can vote using your pledged ADA. Okay. I haven't tried it myself yet. If anyone has, or if you're going to make a video, let us know and we'll get that published out to other people. Okay.
I like to.
So there's my strategy. I got to figure it out.
Yeah. No, that's a good strategy. It's a good strategy. You have to take your time and do things. Luke reminded us in the comments, you can only register one wallet with Catalyst. When I was talking about splitting the wallets, I would only vote with one wallet and keep the other funds safe. This way, I'm only entering my seed phrase once with the amount of ADA that I actually want to put in. But yeah, it's eventually voting should come to Daedalus mainnet. And you'll just have an icon in your Daedalus mainnet version. But unfortunately, we'll have to download another Daedalus version. And I think voting ends, registration ends on Tuesday, but I don't think voting ends until the beginning of January. So you have a long time to figure out what you're going to vote for. It's been a long process for fun too. I mean, this started months ago. So it's finally coming to an end. And hopefully the next few rounds, the next few funds are more streamlined. And it could be a quicker turnaround.
Yeah. And hopefully we get a smooth launch out of this. We'll see. It's yet to be seen. I guess we'll find out. I did want to make note. I have this spreadsheet up. I'm going to do a screen share on that.
Okay.
And then if anyone else is also familiar with this spreadsheet, they can chime in and let me know. But this is how much ADA is available. $30 million worth. Quick screen share. I've got some other stuff to screen share later. Let me pop my desktop up there. Okay. This is the amount of ADA, 201,938,554 ADA. It's in Lovelaces, so you stop at this comma and the remaining six digits are the Lovelaces. So 201 million ADA worth $30 million is available. So $30 million available on Project Catalyst. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money and a lot of ADA. Now, of course, you don't want to, like, it's still an experimental phase, right? Project Catalyst is been slow to come up online. It's been slow to come around, but you don't want to launch the very first fund with, you know, tens of millions of ADA in the fund, right? But so that it's the fund two, is it $250,000, whatever the price of ADA is at the time, the cash value will be converted. And there is 20% of that ADA is set aside for the voters. So you're going to get rewarded for voting. Right. Most people know that, but I just want to remind you, you get rewarded for voting. So it is worth your time voting on the proposals. Okay. Yeah. Cause you'll get rewarded.
Yes. And I think it's proportionate to how much you actually register. So how much ADA you register is your, the amount that your vote's going to weigh. And, yeah, I mean, hopefully as we move forward, since there's $30 million in the fund, this took well over a quarter to get from beginning to end. I mean, the next few funds should be more rapid. I know they're going up to $500,000 next quarter, next fund, but I think they can even push it up to seven figures because the speed of the actual funds from beginning to actual deployment. I mean, if it takes a quarter, I mean, we're only going to run through three or four in a given calendar year. So putting a couple million dollars in each fund, US dollars, I think it would still give the fund, the treasury enough time to replicate all its funds. And at the same time, it's going to fund a lot of projects. So there were a lot this time. So we're definitely going to have to push it.
Yeah. It looks like the protocol is generating about 8 million ADA per epic. 8 million ADA per epic. So
yeah,
that's why there's 201 million in there now in the treasury. And, you know, we don't want to just blow all the money at once, but there's definitely room to increase the amount of funds available to the developers and the entrepreneurs who are trying to build using Project Catalyst. There are a few questions in chat about some people are concerned that this is our last episode. Well, that's life. I mean, we're moving on.
Yes.
It was a great run, 116 episodes. That's pretty cool. Project Catalyst didn't work out for us. Philippe, you had a few comments you want to put out on that, and I do as well.
Yeah.
So
I wanted to touch on a couple new news stories before we hit that. This way, you know, it doesn't go from.
Let's stick to the plan. Go for it, brother.
Okay. Okay. And I also want to talk about the IOG community delegation strategy that's happening in January of next year. So starting January, IOG will be delegating a proportion of their funds to community-based pools. There's an application process for stake pool operators if you feel like you should apply. They're going to have incubator pools and purpose pools. So incubator pools are for people that have invested a good amount in Pledge, but they don't have a lot of delegation. So they're going to help support those pools. And they're also going to help support purpose pools or their charitable pools. They're looking to select up to 100 stake pools and delegate between 3 and 4 million ADA apiece to each pool. So they're looking to between 300 and 400 million ADA, and no pool will receive delegation for longer than 6 months. I'm not 100% sure what the whole strategy here is. I'm not sure if this is a tax write-off for IOG, simply because 3 to 4 million to each pool, if you really do the math, back of the envelope calculation, say someone has a large Pledge pool, they have 3 to 4 million delegation, how much are they really earning within that 6 month period for it to even make sense for them to split funds in those minute amounts? I mean, if you do back of the envelope calculations, you're probably looking at between $500 and $1,000 over a 6 month period for a stake pool operator. I wouldn't really consider that support, since the hardware that you're using could be eating up most of those costs. So I'm not 100% sure what their strategy is as far as moving it into 100 different pools. They say they want to support the ecosystem, make pools more decentralized, but there are a lot of pools and I don't think this is the correct message. I don't think that all pools should survive. There are a lot of pools out there and this is just giving false hope to a lot of pools, and it's really not going to make a financial difference for a pool getting a 3-4 million delegation over a 6 month period if they can't sustain it or grow their delegation over a certain period of time. So to me, it's kind of a waste. Maybe they should have just amalgamated their funds and gone bigger in particular pools that they wanted to support. That might be a solution. Or maybe just let the market forces decide. I'm not 100% sure what the correct answer is. Rick, did you have any thoughts?
Yeah, I think as long as they make one block per epic, and I believe that was the approach, was get them bootstrapped, the purpose pools, and it's a broad strategy because there are a lot of pools, right? And get them bootstrapped where they can make one block per epic, and with the minimum fee of 340 ADA per epic, it's enough to run a min spec server. That's about $34 every 5 days. Well, maybe $44 every 5 days, as long as they make one block per epic and the min fee of 340, and that will get at least a min spec cloud server out there, or a Rock Pi in the internet connection. So I think that was the approach on the current price of ADA. You always got to go by the current price of ADA. You cannot say the future price of ADA. You never know what it's going to be, right? People expect it to go up, but you never know what's going to happen. So I think it will sustain. It'll make them just sustainable, but don't quit your day job, right? Don't quit your day job. It's not there yet, but it will get them at the point of it'll cover the cost of the pool. I think the strategy is to draw in natural delegation, organic delegation from other people, so that if people at least see that they're producing a block per epic, that it's a viable pool and it will draw in natural delegation. Now, the trade-off is that there is a limited supply of ADA. It's not like GPU mining cards where they just make more and you buy more, right? There's a limited supply. So that ADA has to come from somewhere, and it's going to come from other pools. So, I mean, that's just how the ecosystem works. And we've known that from day one. So that's just how it goes. But I think it's a reasonable strategy. It's kind of balanced. You got the Cardano Foundation with slightly larger bags and a slightly different strategy. So if you got two different organizations using two slightly different strategies, I think in the long run, it might be beneficial. Plus, you can always adjust it. You know, you're not stuck with that strategy. If you see that the strategy is not effective, you can tweak it a little and try to make it more effective.
Yeah.
So that's always an option.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of like, you know, all the IOG pools are now private. They set to retire in Daedalus. I didn't look at Daedalus in a couple since Thursday. It's been 2 days since Daedalus, man. I need my Daedalus fix. but they're bringing them up. Their private pools are up, set to full Pledge 100%. I don't even know if they show up in Daedalus anymore, but they have done that. So anyway, at least they have a strategy and they're trying something.
Yeah,
definitely. And they're taking that pre-mined ADA. That's something to be alert to. They're taking that pre-minted ADA that would, you know, people didn't actually have to purchase it, and they're reinvesting it in the community, right? So that's a good thing. All right.
I see a lot of dilution, but, you know, I don't know if that's necessarily the best strategy, but yeah, I mean, I guess it's a step. They're making an effort.
Yeah. So. And you can always adjust the strategy.
Yeah.
Right. See how it goes. Give it your best shot and change it if you need to. So.
Yep. Next thing I wanted to talk about, Rick, native tokens on Cardano. So native tokens are coming. So native tokens, they're going to exist on chain rather than in a separate silo. So if you look at Ethereum, so Ethereum has the ERC-20 tokens and the ERC-721 tokens, the fungible and non-fungible tokens, but they exist separate to Ethereum. So they're not on the ledger. So native tokens are going to start existing on the Cardano ledger. And why is this beneficial for you as an investor? Because if you invest in any fungible or non-fungible assets in the future, you know that it's being built on chain and there's not going to be any sort of ridiculous hack. Because with Ethereum, the developers have to code themselves. They have to code their own tokens outside the chain, then connect it to the chain. And if they have to get audited, they have to make sure that their code is right. If there's a bug, it could be attacked and people can lose millions of dollars. I mean, there have been $100 million hacks on Ethereum, plenty of them, and they're going to continue to have hacks because it's not written on chain. So this gives investors greater assurance as to what they're investing in, and the security of the protocol is as secure as Cardano. So if Cardano is secure, that means the tokens that are being built on Cardano are also secure. It doesn't mean that it's not a terrible token that will go to zero, or there's still a risk in investing in that asset, but it's not because there's going to be a hack that your money is going to be taken away. It could just be you're investing in things that have no value. So I think this is very, very good for individual investors and institutional investors to get involved with these Cardano native tokens and start pushing their money throughout the Cardano ecosystem. So that's very exciting. Rick, do you have any thoughts about native tokens?
Yes, I think it's really cool that they run natively on the blockchain in the context of the Cardano blockchain, not on a separate smart contract. And I'm curious to see which ones where pool operators processing transactions start getting tiny little cuts. And here's the way I've kind of always looked at it. Let's say you only get a fraction of a token, right, for processing a transaction. But then you're looking at tens of transactions per day, then hundreds, then thousands of transactions per day, it could really add up. It could really add up. So I'm really curious to see how this goes. I think it's going to work out well. I'm very happy they went with the native token model. I know I mentioned it before, but I always got kind of tired of chasing ERC-20s around with ETH and going, oh, I don't have enough ETH over there to move that one. So I'd move some ETH. And next thing I knew, I had dust everywhere. So I'm hoping there is a dust minimization technique, and there is a chase your tokens around with something else technique. I really hope it works out on Cardano. We'll see. I'm looking forward to it. And I think Daedalus is going to become a very super awesome, cool wallet, even better than it already is. It's been one of my favorites between Ledger Live and Daedalus. It's kind of hard. I'm like, oh my gosh, which one do I like better? But once we start seeing these native assets showing up in Daedalus, I think we are going to be pleasantly surprised at what happens. So yeah, looking forward to it.
Should be cool.
Plus all of the creative things. We do have to be careful though. So an alert to the viewers, if you're not familiar with playing around with ERC-20 tokens, you'll get some number of really good ones. For example, I think Liquid has put so much thought into their work, and that theirs will be a very useful, viable token that has it's not a closed loop system, but an open system where there's flow, there's liquidity flow, right? I did get into some ERC-20 tokens that had no flow. They were a closed loop system. It was between you and the dApp developer, and then it was like kind of stuck. Like, what do I do with this thing now? I got a bunch of them, and so look for that, or keep an eye out for stuff like that. Make sure you understand what these tokens are. We're going to get a lot of them. I looked at a lot of the AGI tokens or the AGI things running on SingularityNet. They looked brilliant. They provided products and services that I'm interested in. So that's huge, huge, huge stuff right there. because some of the biggest players on Ethereum are now checking out Cardano and partnering and moving to Cardano. So that's going to be a massive win right there. It's win, win, win all the way around, all day, every day. Going for number one, bro.
Definitely, definitely. I have some cash ready to go when yeah. some of these tokens hit. So I have some cash on the side. So my reserve money is set. So
yeah, I didn't get any AGI yet. Oh, what should I do? Should I get it now and then convert it? I think I need to do that. Oh, I should have bought it. Oh, man, I was looking at it like a month. I'm like, oh, I should get some of that now. I don't know what happened to it. Number go up. Number's going to go up. That's what I think.
Next thing we need to talk about, Rick. KVM and Yella DevNet, it was announced. So this is huge because when we first got into Cardano, I was very excited about KVM and Yella. The KVM is the Ethereum virtual machine written on the K framework. So it just makes writing Ethereum applications that much more secure. And I thought this was a brilliant marketing strategy because it would get the Ethereum developers on board. They would be able to test their products within this K framework. And then they'll be like, oh, I love using this machine. I love using this process, this product. What else can this product give to me? And that leads them to Cardano. So it's a great marketing tool to get those Ethereum developers onto Cardano. But then it was scrapped like a year and a half ago.
I call it put on the shelf.
Put on the shelf.
It was put on the shelf about a year and a half ago, yeah.
Yes, yes. And then it came back. So now it's here. And I think that this is great. It's in time for Gogan. And it's just going to give us that much more of a competitive advantage. And it's you have to sometimes give people that free product in order for them to come back and purchase more. So it's that sample that we're giving them. And eventually they're going to start creating Cardano native tokens. And they'll just move past the Ethereum. Because I think that just giving them the tools that they can to create something that's secure using that K framework built by Cardano is going to give them the confidence that they need in order to start building products on Cardano.
Yeah. I forgot to read if Daedalus is now a multi-asset ledger. I think it might be running in the background, but it doesn't have the UI yet. I'm not sure, but we'll see. But I have said in the past, and I still think it's going to happen, Cardano will run Ethereum better than Ethereum runs Ethereum. And I got to tell you, man, Ethereum 2.0, okay, great. They launched, they started off a little slow on getting enough ETH into the smart contract required to launch on December 1st. They succeeded. They got it in there. A whole bunch, hundreds of thousands of ETH showed up in a matter of a few days. And they did get enough in there to launch the ETH 2.0. But as I read through the requirements to stake on ETH, I realized Cardano won. I mean, Cardano is just easier. They're at least a year behind Cardano, at least. And then these smart contracts launch over the next couple of months. You know, Gogan's already on the mainnet. Just a reminder, everyone, Gogan's already on mainnet. It's a phased rollout. There's certain features. The metadata is on chain already, and there are people using it. Martin, Adam, okay, the guys out there, they're putting metadata on chain. They're playing around with it on the mainnet, and as this phased rollout continues, more and more Gogan technology will be deployed on mainnet, right? So you're going to see it just blow up over the next couple of months, and it's going to be exciting, yeah. to say the least.
Yeah. But
yeah, and then so far as KEVM and Yella that you were talking about, this was code built right from scratch. This wasn't middle of the night, grab me a pizza, can of Mountain Dew. This stuff was built. Precision. And I love precision code.
Yes.
It's precision. And yes. We've seen the difference between earlier this year with the Jormungandr Rust code base that was a rapid build up to get it field tested, get the concepts tested in the field. Then we switched it over to the Haskell code and oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. Doesn't get any better than that.
Yep.
All right. We did have a few questions in there. Do you want to hit a few questions and then we will...
Okay.
We'll move on. I'm sorry. So you hit KVM, Yella?
Yes. We had one more announcement, but we can hit questions for sure. Let's hit a couple questions.
All right. Let's see. There's a few in there. Oops. Scroll a lot. Lots of questions. Thanks everyone for asking questions. We did go quite a while there before asking any questions.
We're going to get into the... finale in a bit.
Okay. Wondersound Radio asked, can you vote with more than one wallet in the Catalyst app? I don't know. I haven't tried it yet, but I think you get one. You can register. You got to start with a minimum of 8,000 ADA. And you can only register one voting. Is that correct? I saw someone say that in chat. I didn't know if there was a limit. Can you vote like on three different projects with three different wallets? I don't know.
I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah. I don't know. Some of this we're going to have to find out. Like I would hope to, I would want to be able to vote where I could divide my ADA into groups of three or four wallets and vote on three or four different projects.
Yeah.
Right.
That would be good. That would be good.
I would hope so. So we'll see. Keep your eyes and ears peeled. There's going to be an IOG update on December 17th. Okay. So you'll probably get more details there. And also check out the most recent Catalyst update, town hall number 13. There was more information out there, put out there as well. All right. Let me see. Any other questions? Rick and Philippe, are you guys going to propose for funding in the next Catalyst? No, we are not. Regarding Cardano effect. What else? How late am I? You're not late. You're never late. You're never late, Tommy. We started at noon. We started 26 minutes ago.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So what else, Philippe?
All right. The last thing that I want to talk about was the Bonley partnership. So I saw a lot of, there were two different sides of people. Like there was a Cointelegraph article and then there's the actual Bonley website. And Bonley is a DeFi solution and Cardano is supposed to be partnering with Bonley. But Bonley is built on Polkadot. It's not like it's migrating over from Polkadot to Cardano. They're just going to be utilizing the Cardano technology as well. And there's a couple other cryptocurrencies or blockchain companies that are going to be using it. The Kodi chain, they're going to be working with Kusama and Darwinia. And they're just built on Polkadot. And one of the advisors is Dan Friedman. And he was on the Cardano Effect podcast before. So when we are ready to go, I guess that DeFi solution will be available to us, but it is not a Cardano exclusive. So yeah, it's just built on Polkadot. So I just wanted to clear that ground. You can go on that Bonley website and see exactly what projects they're partnering with or what projects that they're going to be utilizing. And they have a little tiny roadmap on the bottom of their website that shows you when to expect it on Cardano, when to expect it on Kodi, when to expect it on this chain and this chain. So I think it's a step in the right direction. So DeFi needs to come to Cardano. Ethereum is killing DeFi. And there are a lot of people that are investing in DeFi. And, you know, I think we need some yield farming. We need to do some yield farming in Cardano as well. I mean, I think that would be exciting. It would be fun. So the Ethereum people are having all the fun right now, but hopefully when these solutions are presented, we can open up that space to investors within the Cardano community as well. So I'm excited for that.
Yep. Yep. I'm glad you clarified that, Philippe. I did see some confusion. I saw two different posts about is Bonley coming to Cardano or not, but not. They're on Polkadot.
Yeah.
Okay. They might play around with Cardano and Polkadot used some Cardano research. No one copy and pasted code as far as I know. It was they used the research data, which is why the research is there and why it's open. We're up to 91 research papers.
Pretty impressive.
91. That stack is thick. It's no longer just a research paper. It's like an encyclopedia.
Oh, definitely.
Of research. It's a lot of research. All right. All right. So you want me to hit on some of the nostalgia of the Cardano effect? Oh, a reminder to viewers who have recently dialed in. We're wrapping up the Cardano effect. This is the final episode. You can check out the links down below. In the description, we have Philippe's channel, his original channel, Philpa, that he started off with many years ago, almost three years ago, and a little more than 3 years ago. Like it's one of the oldest channels. It was about November, December of 2017, I think, is when I saw one of your first videos on there. I don't remember.
Maybe. Or it might be a little bit after that. It might be at the beginning of 2018, but yeah, it's been there for a while now.
Yeah, so if you're subscribed to the Cardano Effect, hop on over to Philippe's original channel. We're still going to be doing videos on our original channels. I have a Digital Fortress link down below in the description. You can check out my Digital Fortress channel. That's where we'll be doing our videos from now on is on our personal channels. And there are over 40 YouTube channels that are either dedicated to Cardano or they are Cardano friendly. Also linked in the description down below. So check out all of those YouTube channels. massive, massive numbers. We should be very happy about that. It's very exciting to have so many YouTube channels available on Cardano, all right? So I've got a bit of nostalgia. I wanted to go back to the beginning, the origin of the Cardano effect. If you're not familiar with it, I'm going to do a quick screen share here and I'll show you. We started off when we built the Cardano effect with the community, Philippe and I. We ran a contest to find a name for the Cardano effect. Then we ran a contest to find a logo. So I'll just show you a quick screen share over here on the Cardano forum. Do I have the right screen up, Philippe?
Yes, you do. Okay.
Over here on the Cardano forum, we had this contest in October of 2018. This was the birth of the Cardano effect. And I remember the person, I don't have their name on here, but the name, the Cardano effect, we had several different submissions. We had maybe 20, 30 different submissions. We narrowed it down to five, narrowed it down to three. Then we had a vote. And then the Cardano effect won the vote. And it was submitted by Crypto Secret Circle, who also runs a YouTube channel. I remember that, Crypto Secret Circle. And he does TA videos. Okay. And here's all of the logos. There was about 84 logos submitted. So there's a lot of creative. Here's the winning logo. And it's marked by Brunswick Street here. And I believe a person named Maxime also submitted a logo much like this, or maybe it's the same person. And you can see all of the different logos that were submitted here in October of 2018. And the winner of this contest got 2,280 ADA. Right, we put up 2,000 of it, and at the time, I think it was worth a lot more than it's worth now.
I think so. Yeah,
yeah. I think at the time it was worth, I don't recall, like 40 or 50 cents. It was on the downhill slide of, or not down. It was on the downhill slide of a bear market.
Yeah, yeah.
Before, you know, but yeah. So 84 logos out there, as you can see. I'm just kind of scrolling through here. If you want to check that out, that's over on the Cardano forum. I also have some of our stats from the Cardano effect up here as well. So we have 367,000 views, a total watch time of 100,000 hours of watch time. Philippe, you've calculated earlier.
That's 11 years.
11 years of watch time. 11 years of watch time. 8,500 subscribers. Okay. And you can see all of the episode releases over time, 116 episodes over the lifetime of the Cardano effect. Okay, and this is the graph that you have on YouTube for that. And I got a couple other stats. I'm going to bring down that screen share.
Okay.
We are our audio cast. So the Cardano effect is available from over 80 different either apps or stream services or connection services. They all have different kinds of names, but we have 85,691 total downloads. The main audio platforms are Amazon Music, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and it's between Apple Podcasts and Libsyn. We have the greatest number of downloads, 85,000, over 85,000 downloads. iHeartRadio, Pandora, SoundCloud, TuneIn, Deezer, Ghana, Radio Public, Radio.com, mobile app, Podcast Box, Player.fm, Stitcher, and many, many, many other streaming apps because the apps use those services. So for the historical record, you can use any app. We haven't found one that doesn't have the Cardano effect on the app itself. There is one, we stopped using the SoundCloud couple months ago because there was only a couple downloads and they had it. That was another paid subscription service. And I was like, nah, two downloads per is not worth the trade-off, yeah. Right? It wasn't worth the trade-off. So, well, two downloads per month or something like that. And that service was like $20 a month. And I was like, nah, we're not doing that. They'll use something else. I got like three different. I got iTunes, TuneIn, not iTunes, but it's called Apple Music now, and then Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, and Spotify Premium. I got Spotify Premium.
Rick, can you touch on the average watch time too? Because you know we're not a TMZ of crypto, but we do the actual engagement that we do get. people do watch the podcast and listen to the podcast. I don't know if you had that stat in front of you.
One of these stats had the click away time. I'll see if I can find it. Last time I checked it, it was 14 and a half or 15 minutes, which is, it's even higher. 16 minutes and 23 seconds, which is really high.
Yes.
That is extremely high.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. That is a typical YouTube video will have between 3 to 5 minutes click away time. So thank you, dedicated viewers of the Cardano Effect. Oh, I didn't put it up here. So 16 minutes, 23 seconds, average view duration. So most of the people who are watching the Cardano Effect are watching the entire Cardano Effect.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Dedicated viewers. Thank you.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Thank you, viewers. Okay. All right. So there's our stats. Oh, how many countries? 130 countries.
130 audio countries.
Yeah. YouTube is I don't even have the stats, or well, the stats are on here somewhere.
We even have a few downloads from Afghanistan. I mean, believe it or not, I was shocked when I saw that. People downloading it from Afghanistan, which is incredible. Incredible.
Yep. Downloads in 130 countries, even Iceland, and Afghanistan and Iceland are in there.
That's awesome. Yep. So shout out to the person or people that are downloading in Afghanistan.
shout out to that guy in Iceland too.
Shout out to him too. Rick,
all right.
I wanted to say something.
What's up?
Okay. So, this is a little bit emotional for me. I mean, it hurts my heart a little bit. My heart is a little bit hurt. I'm not going to lie. So excuse me if I'm being a little bit emotional, but I want to start thanking everyone for everything. So I want to start off with, first of all, Charles. I want to thank Charles, because if you're not familiar with Rick or myself, we had a YouTube channel prior to the Cardano Effect, and we were doing Cardano exclusive videos. We really enjoy the project from the beginning, and you can check our catalog, you can check the forum, you can check the history to verify that. And why we're thanking Charles is because Charles gave us that initial push to do the podcast together. And you know, it takes someone. Charles is very capable, Charles is very knowledgeable, but to be able to pick out the right team, it's a skill. It's a skill that you need to know. Like it's not for everyone. Not everyone can pick the right team. And if you even look at IOG as a company, Charles is not coding himself, but he's able to attract talent from lead engineers, lead software engineers, the greatest minds out there, in order to collaborate on a project. So to be able to get people from different walks of life that have different skill sets to come together, that's a talent. And for him to recognize that Rick and I have this synchronicity and are able to be able to do this, I think that's, thank you for that. Thank you. We appreciate that. You know, I want to thank IOG, formerly known as IOHK, because they were our first sponsor for the Cardano Effect podcast. It lasted until, I don't know, episode 72, you said. So thank you for that first sponsorship. After that sponsorship, we were encouraged and we moved on to the Cardano Foundation. They represent the community. They have sponsored up from now until this episode. We had a call with them this week. I have nothing bad to say about the Cardano Foundation sponsoring the podcast. I want to thank them. We really haven't had any friction with the Cardano Foundation. I mean, you know,
they've been great.
They really have been great. They really have been great. We knew this podcast was going to come to an end as far as sponsorship. So we had a plan to try to get funded by the community. We put out our proposal in Fund 2. It was met with some critique and, it just didn't work out for us. And, you know, the amount of time that Rick and I spend in the community, the amount of time that we've been spending over the past few years, you know, we've been doing this podcast for over 2 years. We really wanted to take it to the next level. I mean, we had visions to become the sportscasters for Cardano. We wanted to have like the morning show, you know, that type of sports feel to get that mass adoption, take it to the completely next level. If you guys watch any of those NFL sports shows or NBA sports shows in the morning, they're very contagious. They have good personalities and they really relate to the masses. So we wanted to take it to that level, but it did not work for us. So, thank you to the Cardano Foundation. We knew the sponsorship was going to come to an end eventually, and it has. We are not going to be putting a proposal in for Fund 3. If you watched Charles's latest video, it seems to be developer focused only. And, you know, there was in the original fund too, there was a problem with the funds that we're asking. They were too high for community wants. And Rick and I are under the assumption that we encourage people to make full-time salaries within Cardano because it allows people to give more time into the project and it shows more dedication and it brings more talent. So, you know, our thought process was the Cardano Effect guys can get a good salary with the podcast. That's going to encourage other people to come into the network and developers to come and build. Because at the end of the day, it's all about money. It has a $4 billion, $5 billion market cap. We got to put the money out there. We've got to support people. The next people I want to thank is the community. So I want to thank each and every one of you. So everyone who's tuned into to this episode from the beginning, you've been so grateful. Both of us really appreciate you. And we don't thank you enough. We don't thank you enough because without you, we wouldn't have this podcast. We wouldn't have the engagement that we're having. I mean, just leaving comments, sharing our videos, commenting us, uplifting us, really supporting us. It makes us feel very good. It really encourages us to keep on moving forward. Anyone that's been on this podcast can attest to the amount of time that we actually put into the production of this podcast. Whether you like it or not, if you see what the work we do behind the scenes, we put that work, we put that energy in. And, you know, sometimes it was tough over these long episodes and it hasn't been the easiest route and everyone has been supporting. And we appreciate that. We appreciate that. And next congratulations or next thank you. I want to thank Christian and Kyle. So Christian and Kyle have been our engineers for this podcast. So this is a team that's working behind this production and fixing the audio, fixing the video, splicing the video, doing all the stuff that happens behind the scenes. It's bigger than us. We have a team. And Christian and Kyle, they're one of the reasons why our podcast is so big right now because they're so meticulous. They're so detail-oriented. They've allowed us to really focus on learning the material and having good questions for our guests while we don't have to focus on the minutia of fixing sound, fixing video, and it's really helped our creativity go to the next level because we haven't had, especially for the second half, as things were getting more streamlined, we don't have to focus on those little things, those little details that may take up time from us reading another article or doing this or reaching out to this next guest. So it's a team that's allowed this whole operation to expand. And the last person I want to thank is, of course, my co-host, Rick. So, Rick, thank you so much. I mean, you know, I'm so glad to have met you. We do have a genuine friendship outside of this Cardano Effect, and we met from this podcast. And I'm telling you, we have a great relationship, and I'm really happy to meet you. The synchronicity between us is incredible, and I couldn't have thought of any person to do this for this long. And I really appreciate you, Rick. I really do. I really do.
Thank you, Philippe. And I appreciate you as well. And we have had a great friendship. And we will see each other again in the future at summits, meetups, speaking engagements. We will be crossing paths again. And I've really enjoyed this. I wouldn't trade it for anything. I would not have done it any differently. We started off learning. We learned quickly. We very rapidly brought things up to a really good. We never stopped improving. We always continued to improve. We never ran out of ideas. And that's the thing I really liked about working with you, Philippe, is even if we didn't have full agreements, we would talk through it and we would come up with better and better ideas or better approaches. And when there were shortages of guests or shortages of content or the market was bare, we always found a way to cheerfully reach out to the community through this podcast. And I would like to thank all of the viewers as well. I would like to thank the support staffs at IOG and at the Cardano Foundation, like, for example, Juliet Aldafang and so on. The people that we've interacted with when we were either reaching out for guests or working out arrangements and stuff like that. They've been extremely helpful. So there are other unsung heroes behind the scenes, and that is the staff members at IOG and the Cardano Foundation who are very, very helpful, just wonderful people, and we're lucky to have them.
Agreed. Agreed.
And what do you think, Philippe? Are we good? Is there anything else you wanted to hit on? Are we going to wrap it up on the high note and bid farewell to the viewers?
I think that's it. Cardano's going past the moon. We're going to Andromeda. You know, we're going to hit Andromeda before it crashes into the Milky Way galaxy. So strap yourself in. It's going to be a great ride. And, you know, I hope everyone achieves their dreams and becomes successful and their investments work out and pan out. Stay focused, stay safe. And I think it's going to be good, you know? It's going to be good. So let's see where we're at in the next couple of years. Revisit. And it's going to be a fun ride.
Because we're going for number one.
Yep.
Number one.
Number one.
All right, buddy.
All right, everyone. All right. Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Cheers.